Hare Krishna. Recently, I spoke about the message and the package and commented that we're using state-of-the-art technology for recording and broadcasting this message. It's the message that is important, not so much the package. The package is not the important thing. Here's a comment which came from Marianne Radanovic from Ljubljana, which is the capital of Slovenia, for those of you who don't know. Slovenia is a small country in Europe, formerly part of Yugoslavia. I've been there many times. So he wrote, a state-of-the-art recordings and visuals so that we can see and hear you are made in hellish cities where we demons live and where the hellish money is made so we can pay bills to pay for the internet to watch you and feeding you and you travel around. In hellish cities are devotees distributing books and collecting money on scorching sun and hellish cold to support temples in hellish cities. Maybe you should try. We demons like our hell. Well, that definitely doesn't fall in the category of Facebook likes, but it does address some important issue or relevant issue that some may be wondering about, that we, or myself here, dressed in a manner which announces that I'm supposed to be promoting some form of spirituality, dressed as a monk or a sadhu, who's supposed to be simple and renounced from the world and not interested in all these modern luxuries. Why is a person who's promoting spirituality have the best in that which is material? So it's a paradox or even hypocritical. Well, I did touch on this in the talk that I gave on message and package, that we need to make a good package to attract others to the message. It's actually the message that is important. Whether or not this is being produced on Facebook and widely circulated, it's an important message. I can speak this message to one or two people or just alone in a room. But if the message is good, then it's good to give it to as many people as possible. If it can benefit one person or two people or three people, it can benefit 1 million or 2 million or 3 million. So with faith that this message is important, we use all the best means to promote that. Best means that by modern technology, it is possible to broadcast this message in ways that previously wasn't possible. But that requires modern technology that is produced in hellish cities. I also use that term. And in fact, to make such a machine as this camera, which I'm looking at and you can't see, no doubt it requires digging up things from the earth, factories, whereas we are propagating, live simply, don't have anything unnecessary more than we need. So isn't it hypocritical that we're using all this expensive stuff also? As far as the expenses are concerned, some kind-hearted or appreciative devotees have kindly donated from their earnings in hellish cities this equipment because they feel that the message deserves to be widely broadcast. As far as using these things, well, the example is given that for cutting a tree, before the age of this power saw, people would use an axe. Of course, we don't generally cut down trees unless it's required, but it's just, in just giving an example. We don't indiscriminately chop down even trees. So to chop down a tree, the axe, the shaft, I can't remember the name, the head of the axe, that the part which actually touches the wood and cuts it, that is required. But a handle is also required, which is made of wood, which comes from a tree. So we use the modern technology to propagate that this modern technology actually isn't required. And for getting, that's not our main message also. Our main message is that everything should be done for Krishna. Everything should be done for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To propagate this in modern society does put us into various contradictions, such as being in the materialistic cities where saintly people generally are not expected to be. They're expected to be in forest ashrams. But then to bring this message, we have to live in the city, to bring it widely to people. And to do that, we have to adopt and accept many of the norms and the technology of modern cities. So it is important, and thank you for pointing that out, to not be enamored by the fancy inventions of modern man, or think that to have the state-of-the-art appliances is a goal in itself. It's not at all. We always have to keep in mind that everything in this world is temporary, but if Krishna has given the intelligence to a person to create such things, then we can certainly use such things in Krishna's service for bringing this important message to us, the important message that human life is meant for God realization, for serving God. As far as the term hellish cities, which seems to be taken objection to, well, let's be realistic. Actually, Ljubljana, where this gentleman is from, I've been there many times, and definitely compared to London, it's Ljubljana and the Slovenian people in general are very cultured, well-mannered, gentlemanly kind of people. Not saying that people elsewhere are not, but certainly compared to London, Ljubljana, I would say, is a much more peaceful, less hellish, you can say. In London, there are so many people homeless, sleeping under bridges at night, in the begging for food. The fear of terrorism is always there. Violent crime and all other kinds of crime are rampant. I'm not saying London is completely bad, but it's certainly not an ideal way of life. Another important point is that even in such a relatively nice city as Ljubljana, most of the people are eating meat, which means that they're taking flesh of animals, which has been, the animals have been killed in hellish slaughterhouses. So although people seem to be very nice, and actually in their general behavior maybe, they don't think about this hellish slaughter of animals. That in itself is a hellish kind of attitude. Maybe because people are demons, they don't think about such things. One ex-president of Slovenia, who's now passed away, was a vegetarian. Maybe that would be a good idea of life. To say, another good example, of course, is Delhi is famous for smog. So that's pretty hellish, isn't it? With the classical idea of hell is lots of smoke and breathing in fumes. So polluted cities, cities in which people are full of stress, very common in modern life, full of danger. So it's a graphic term, and it brings home the point, was meant to bring home the point, that the way life is running on in the present day, it may be that some demons like their hellish cities, but most people are not at all content, even materially. So we wish to bring to the attention of people that the whole society at the present time, it's going on the wrong basis. People have forgotten their relationship with God. People are living simply with the idea that if they get more and more fancy appliances, then their life will be better, for which they work in jobs, which most people are not happy with their job. They wouldn't be doing, they're not content with their life overall. So the term hellish cities is applicable. There's pollution of the air. You can't get clean air. You can't get healthy food. Food is poisoned. The air is poisoned. The water is poisoned. And people's minds are poisoned. So there's mugging. People don't have relationships with each other. Even they may be living next to each other for years. They'll never talk with each other. They have no interest in each other. So this is why we call it hellish cities. And demons is a shocking word. No doubt. It's a term that Srila Prabhupada used to translate asura, which means godless people who are only interested in living for themselves, for sense gratification, without understanding the purpose of human life is to serve God. And when there are more and more people in the world like this, then definitely there'll be more and more competition, and hellish situation is created. So it's true that devotees are there in the cities in very difficult circumstances, distributing books. I've also spent many years of my life, and I continue to do so, traveling in hellish cities. Devotees who do work hard in the cities, they do kindly facilitate my travel to various places. Generally, it's considered traveling is some kind of enjoyment, but we do that in the service of Krishna. Our motive is different. So definitely some people will blame that, but we ask people to be more generous and see that even if we are somewhat harsh in our criticism of the way most people in the world live their lives today, it's not the harshness of an enemy, but simply we want to point out that human life should be lived in a better way than most people do in the modern world today. And our Krishna conscious movement is supposed to demonstrate a more simple, natural, godly way of life, life with God, Krishna in the center. So, another point I'd like to just quickly speak on. There's a comment on another talk. Someone has written, addressing myself, only you can understand Srila Prabhupada properly. And then one, Lingeshwar Dayalan, has written, Hare Krishna, without any offense, ISKCON has plenty of gurus who have understood the transcendental spirit of Srila Prabhupada, and no doubt Bhaktivikas Maharaj is also one of them. I pray for blossoming of Krishna consciousness everywhere. So thank you, Lingeshwar Dayalan, for making that comment. Definitely it's true that there are many gurus, spiritual teachers, who can represent the message of Godhead, Srila Prabhupada, and give spiritual knowledge to others. And we certainly don't want to propagate that I am the only one.